Hi, this is CJ Wilson for the Green Bay Packers, and you listen to Railbird Central.
At Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game against the Cowboys this upcoming weekend, and we're looking back at a win against the Falcons this last week. To do that, we have joining us on the line, as he does every Wednesday here on the show, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well. How about you, Brian?
Very good. Glad you could join us. I think Packers running back is on the minds of a lot of Packers fans right now after spraining his ankle last weekend. He ended up being the highest graded player on the Packers offense despite putting up what appear to be mediocre stats. I think he had 20 carries for 65 yards. What was it that gave him such a high grade?
What gave him his high grade is he did the best he could with the opportunities he had and still had a lot of players miss tackles on him, as he usually does. The reason for his low stat line had a lot to do with the Packers' offensive line in this one. For example, David Bakhtiari has improved in his pass protection as the season has gone on, but he's the lowest rated left tackle in terms of run blocking this year. In addition, Don is typically a pretty good run blocker, but since these past 2 weeks, she hasn't been playing as well in terms of run blocking. I wouldn't be surprised if his injuries have had something to do with it. And then also TJ Lang is someone who's much better in pass protection than run blocking. He's been really hit and miss all season, and in this game in particular, it was a miss. So a lot of times the hole was just already closed by the time that Eddie Lacy got there, and he still made the most of those opportunities. So I would have expected, had a lesser back been the one carrying the ball, they would have only had around 30 yards with those opportunities rather than the 65-ish that Lacy ended up having.
I do think it's remarkable what he was able to do with the sprained ankle after halftime as well, to come back and do that. Talking about the offense here, Matt Flynn appears to be the backup, become the starter for the time being, as long as the starting quarterback Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back. Tell me about Matt Flynn here, Nathan. What did he improve upon after having such a poor game against the Lions the week before?
I think while I blame the offensive line for the lack of improvement or lack of play in the run game, I want to say the offensive line had a bit to do with Flynn's better performance. Last week, he was under pressure near half the time, and this week, he was only under pressure on 8 of his 42 dropbacks. So part of it was he had a lot more time to throw. He still got sacked a lot while he was under pressure, which was a little concerning. But having a lot more time to throw was helpful. And then I think he also took a lot more shorter passes, which are more high percentage plays, which helped him. His average depth of target last week was 11.1. So on the average play, he was throwing the ball 11 yards downfield before it got to the receiver, where this week his average depth of target was down to 6.4. So a lot of shorter throws that are easier to complete. And I think a lot of that also had to do with this week the Packers were either close or winning or just losing by a score throughout this game, so he could afford to take those higher percentage passes. Where last week, he was down early, so he had to try doing what he could to win and just wasn't able to come back.
One of Matt Flynn's top targets this past Sunday, tight end Andrew Corliss, put up career highs in several statistical categories. Do you think he's turning a corner here and kind of getting better as the season goes on, or as he's being relied upon more with your Michael Finley being out?
I think this game in particular was a bit more the Packers taking advantage of the Falcons' weaknesses. The Falcons have linebackers who aren't good at coverage, as well as their safeties haven't been good at coverage this season. So I think the Packers' game plan to get the ball to the tight end more, since that was the matchups to easiest to take advantage of. All of his targets came against backup safety Zeke Mota, who came in partway into the game, as well as starting safety William Moore, and then linebacker Sean Witherspoon, who hasn't done long coverage this year. So who he was going up against on all of those passes wasn't all that impressive. So I think it was simply the Packers doing this in their game plan, and it looked like just more quantity of targets for Corliss rather than making any huge plays in this one.
Well, however it happened, it's a good thing it did for Andrew Corliss, I would think so. The Packers made a roster move yesterday. Wide receiver Miles White's season officially ended on Tuesday when he was placed on injured reserve. And Nathan, I know it's a small sample size, but, you know, seeing as his season's over, what can we say about what Miles White offered the Packers and his chances of maybe being a factor in the future?
Yeah, he offered a little bit that was interesting. He had a very high catch rate of 82%. Typically, you'll see receivers more around the 60s and 70s. So he had that high catch rate, but also a very low yards per catch, which often those two are hand in hand. The closer, shorter the passes, the higher chance you have of catching it. But he didn't have a single catch this year where the ball was in the air for more than 10 yards. So there were... He also had one drop, so it really wasn't any particular impressive catch, but he also was fairly reliable. He was clearly the fifth most impressive receiver of the Packers' five receivers, so my guess is next year he'll be fighting for that fifth or maybe even fourth wide receiver spot.
Yeah, when Randall Cobb comes back, it's going to be tough to fight for snaps in the slot position role that Miles White sometimes at least would step in for. But we're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Turning our attention to the defensive side of the football, Johnny Jolly had a big game, a couple big moments this past week against the Falcons. Is it fair to say that he had his best game of the season, Nathan?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that that was definitely his best game, and it was off of those a few big plays that he had, a tackle for a loss, two for a short gain, and then a batted pass in there. So a lot of those we haven't seen this year that resulted in four tackles, which was double the amount he had in any game, and three of them were stopped. And it's his only batted pass of the season. So all of those were definitely great to see. A lot of them came against some of the Falcons' worst offensive linemen, who are some of the worst in terms of run blocking in the league. So I wouldn't be too surprised if this ends up being Jolly's best game of the season, but it was definitely good to see Jolly having this good of a game at some point this season.
Also on the defensive line, I thought it was odd to see Josh Boyd play more than first-round draft pick Dayton Jones. What did Boyd provide this past week in his pretty much the most extended playing time of his young career so far?
Yeah, I was also a little surprised with the playing time, but I think a lot of that had to do with more of the situations the Packers' defense was put in rather than something the Packers were doing by design. Boyd was basically the backup defensive lineman on first and second down, coming in when some of the other players needed a rest, where Jones was always coming in those third down situations where the Packers were in their dime defense. So it was just that the Falcons were having a lot of long drives that had a lot of first and second downs that Boyd ended up playing more, I think. He really didn't do much of interest in the game. He rushed the passer seven times and didn't get any pressure. In the run game, he did have one tackle, but that was after a five-yard gain, so it wasn't really anything too impressive. It was interesting to note that on three of his four run plays, he started out at least getting double-teamed. He didn't always stay double-teamed throughout the play, but on three of the four, he at least started out as such. And then on the fourth play, was a play that Mike Daniels made a tackle for a loss before Boyd could even do anything that mattered in the play. And then one last note that I saw interesting, the Packers trusted him enough to have him go back in coverage on one play. So that's something that you typically don't see too much out of defensive linemen And when you do, it's typically one of the more experienced defensive linemen that goes back.
I see that Nick Perry was credited with 6 quarterback hurries from Pro Football Focus, which seemed to me to be like a high number. But how does that compare to other elite pass rushers in the NFL when we're talking about hurrying the quarterback?
I think that is a very good number, especially when you consider he did it on just 19 pass rushes. Just looking at 3-4 outside linebackers this week, are ranked 3rd best out of all of the 3-4 outside linebackers, which the top 2 had 7 each. So I think it was a very good game out of Perry. Yeah, it would have been nice if he turned one of those hurries into a sack or hit. But he, especially when he's been healthy, in 4 of the past 5 games, he's very good in pass rushing. So behind Mike Daniels, I would say Perry is the biggest pleasant surprise the Packers defense has had all season.
I thought one player flying under the radar this past week was cornerback Micah Hyde, when you consider what he did both on defense and his contributions on special teams. Nathan, can you elaborate a little bit on the job Micah Hyde did against the Falcons?
Sure. In this game, he was playing whenever the Packers went into their nickel or dime defense, where in the past he was playing a little bit more just in the dime, so he had his role expand a little bit, and then he did a lot of little good plays. He had a pass defense somewhere in there. He also had a pressure at one point when he was pass rushing, and then he also had a tackle for a short gain in the run game. And then he didn't allow a pass for more than 10 yards. So while none of those were spectacular plays, he had good play after good play, and those add up when you also aren't doing anything bad. So it was a good game out of Hyde on defense. And then when you throw in special teams, there were a number of returns where the first Falcon that should have made the tackle didn't end up making the tackle because of something good that Hyde did. So Hyde also had a good grade when it came to returning kicks, as well as his one return punt.
Nathan, can you give us a little preview of the Dallas Cowboys, the next game against the Packers in Dallas this weekend on Sunday? Maybe starting with what happened in that less than impressive outing on defense against the Bears on Monday Night Football.
To really oversimplify the Cowboys are good on offense and they are very bad on defense. Starting with the offense, Dez Bryant and DeMarco Murray, both of their offensive tackles have looked great. So against the Vikings, on Monday night, they were able to score those first few drives, but then ended up being down. I would expect Mike Daniels to have some good pass rush plays from the interior of the Packers defense. But if the Packers can't get much pressure on Tony Romo, he's completed 72% of his passes and has a 22-4 touchdown to interception ratio when he's not under pressure. So I could see the Cowboys offense being able to have a good game. The Cowboys run game is best when they run between the tackles rather than outside the tackles. So the Packers linebackers and interior defensive line will be really important in this game in stopping the run. However, on the Cowboys defense, their defensive line is made up of mostly recent free agent pickups due to injuries they've had, including Jarius Wins getting significant playing time in the Cowboys' defensive rotation. So the defensive line is one of the weaknesses. Outside of Sean Lee, who hurt his neck Monday night, the linebackers have been really bad this year. And then Orlando Scandrick's been the only one in the secondary to have a positive rating. So the only biggest things to worry about with the Cowboys' defense is Jason Hatcher in the interior of the defense, who should be a good matchup against the Packers' interior offensive line. That should be one to watch. And then DeMarcus Ware is having not a great year that he's typically had, but still a good year, so the Packers might need to double him here and there depending on where he's lining up. But I would definitely expect this to be a high-scoring game with how the defenses have been doing for each team these past few weeks.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Nathan. Once again, thanks for joining us here on Railbird Central, as you do every Wednesday. We appreciate your insight and input and your unique statistical analysis, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a good Wednesday.
All right, you too. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here on Railbird Central like he does every week. So glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we kind of continue our discussion here on a Wednesday of where the Packers are at. And I think yesterday a lot of discussion centered around Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, because it was the day of his weekly radio show, and fans are once again wondering if he's going to play this upcoming weekend against the Cowboys. It's been an ongoing soap opera. I'm kind of getting sick of the will he or won't he play kind of thing. It's basically been going on ever since the injury occurred. It was basically assumed that he would miss the next game definitely. But then after that, it was like every week from there on out, there was almost like they were holding out hope that there was a chance that Aaron Rodgers would play. And, you know, 2 weeks removed from the injury, I think everybody assumed it was a long shot. But, you know, they wouldn't rule him out until like Friday at least, just kind of keeping teams guessing. And now it's 6 weeks later. And, you know, they're still not ruling Aaron Rodgers out. But, you know, now it's getting to the point where it's kind of like a coin flip where it's 50-50, you know, will he or won't he play? Although I do think after Aaron Rodgers talked on his show yesterday, the odds of him playing are kind of decreasing, or at least that's the way it feels like. Aaron Rodgers yesterday on his weekly radio show on the ESPN radio affiliates in Madison and Milwaukee talked about how he experienced pain in last week's game. He could do it in just the simple football movements, such as handing the ball off or when he was taking a snap from center. And if you're experiencing pain doing that, I mean, what kind of pain are you going to experience doing something a little more complicated, like trying to throw a long bomb, or worse yet, absorbing a hit, a hard hit from a defensive player? So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at here. And again, Aaron Rodgers was talking about last week. He was talking about the run-up to the Falcons game. So he's had several more days to rest and recover. You know, that the broken bone has more time to heal. But, you know, it's also about the muscles around the broken bone as well that need to, you know, get back to full strength. You know, as he's been out, I'm sure they've kind of, you know, been in disuse a little bit. So, you know, he's going to be kind of rusty. So he's got to get back to full strength as soon as possible in order to play. And he's not been cleared yet, as Mike McCarthy has made abundantly clear during his Monday press conference. But, you know, there's still a lot of time this week to figure things out. You know, he was apparently put through a workout on Tuesday. I don't know what that all entails. He apparently is being evaluated Wednesday morning. It could have happened already as we're, you know, recording the live version of this show at my clock says 8:49 a.m. Central Time at the very moment. You know, has Aaron Rodgers already gone through this evaluation? I don't know. If not, it's going to be happening shortly. And then after that, the Packers have practice a little bit at, you know, roughly 11 o'clock a.m. They go through their practice. And later today, on Wednesday, head coach Mike McCarthy will be giving an update. So we'll find out a little bit more. Matt Flynn is being prepared as the starter once again, as he has now for a couple consecutive weeks. And that's the way the Packers are going right now. I mean, we can only sit here and hope and pray that Aaron Rodgers has been cleared. He's free of pain. He's showed significant progress. We can hope these are the reports we're going to get. I'm not exactly hopeful that's going to happen, at least on a Wednesday here. I don't know, maybe Thursday or Friday, a day down the road, perhaps things get better yet. But who knows? Who knows? Well, we will wait and see, as we do with everything else. And as we talked about with Nathan Jahnke here, with a lot of attention, you know, nationally going to Aaron Rodgers as well as locally, there's of course all these injury situations kind of flying under the radar as people, you know, save all their attention for Rodgers. But we got Eddie Lacy here, pretty much the second most important player on the Packers offense, you know, even more so with Aaron Rodgers out, and the Packers kind of have to rely on Lacy in the ground game a whole lot more to keep them afloat. You know, things like not turn the ball over, things like keeping the chains moving, and just trying to grind out yards on the ground. Eddie Lacy is dealing with this sprained ankle. Happened there right before halftime of the Falcons game. Actually came back and played on that sprained ankle. You know, they taped it up, I guess, at halftime, and they got the spatting on the outside of the ankle as tight as they could. And so I thought it was remarkable how well Eddie Lacy actually played. But, I mean, You do have to consider he was on, you know, running on adrenaline at the time. And where do the Packers go now? I'm just guessing. I'm doubting Eddie Lacy is going to practice today on a Tuesday for the Packers coming away from this sprained ankle. I think they're just going to try to let him rest and recover. And hopefully, you know, he does more later in the week. But I do think he'll be available next. If he was able to actually, you know, be effective on that sprained ankle this past week against the Falcons, I do think with a whole week off, it's going to get a little bit better. And, you know, while he might not be 100%, I mean, he showed he can still be a bulldog even with a gimpy ankle, basically. So, you know, there's that to kind of hold on to and hold out hope for with Eddie Lacy. Matt Latsky on the live blog says it's Wednesday. Yeah. So, I mean, we're still days away from the next Packers game. There's still time for all these players to rest and recover and recuperate and you know, get ready for a big game this Sunday against the Cowboys. Of course, this past week, the Packers actually gained some ground in the chase for a playoff spot. They were lucky enough to have the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Lions, and the Packers gained an entire game in the NFC North standings. But, you know, it's not done yet. The Packers still have to win as many as possible, and it's going to be tough on the road. I mean, this would be the Packers' best win of the season, probably, if they were able to go into Dallas, into hostile territory, with a team led by Tony Romo, and come away with a win, whether it's with or without Aaron Rodgers. I mean, even with Aaron Rodgers, this game is no guarantee based upon the way the Packers' defense has played. I mean, the Cowboys are going to put up some points themselves. But I mean, let's see what happens here with Aaron Rodgers. We still have time to figure it out. Packers made a roster move yesterday that gained a little bit of attention. They had to make a decision. It had come down to the 11th hour on offensive lineman J.C. Tretter, who is on the physically unable to perform, or for short, PUP list. He's been on that list since training camp. He actually originally broke his ankle back during organized team activities back in the month of May. So, I mean, how many months is that now? That we're like 7-8 months removed from Tretter actually breaking his ankle. And he's kind of come back, and he's been practicing. Of course, when you start practicing off the physically unable to perform list, you have a 3-week window, and the Packers used all that. He's been practicing, and they had to make a decision on Tuesday on his status, and they actually decided to activate him from the active roster, the 53-man roster. I kind of thought that would have been a long shot for Tretter. I thought they would shut him down and put him on injured reserve, But I guess what worked in his favor is, I mean, if there's somebody else out there that is, you know, definitely going on injured reserve anyway, well then a roster spot opens up. So why not put Shredder on the roster? You know, if he's at least on his way to recovering, there's no rule that says he has to play in games on Sunday if he's not ready to. He can be part of that 7-man inactive list that the Packers have to have. And who knows, maybe in another week or two, he could be ready to play. But yeah, the Packers kind of surprisingly put wide receiver Miles White. We talked about Miles White with Nathan Yonke of Pro Football Focus. Surprisingly put him on injured reserve when there's really been no word as to why or what injury he suffered during the Falcons game. I'm assuming it happened during the Falcons game because he never was listed on an injury report prior to that. Must have been something, you know, serious enough to land on injured reserve. So JC Treader is now active for the Packers. At the very least, you know, what's good is he can continue to practice here with the at least three weeks left in the season, if not more, if the Packers make the playoffs. You know, he gets the benefit of extra coaching and learning the Packers offense and all those things, even if he doesn't play. Because it's going to be a long shot if he does play. The Packers now have 9 offensive linemen on their active 53-man roster. That is a lot. I mean, obviously only 5 can play at any one time. And if there are no injuries, you know, only those 5 will basically play. So, the Packers seemingly kind of fell out of favor with Marshall Newhouse this past week. He was actually on the inactive list for the first time, you know, after having basically a pretty poor season. And not that I can say I can blame the Packers. I mean, Marshall Newhouse has played as poorly as anybody on the team this season, so he kind of deserves to be down. Now, where Treader is, it kind of in relation to him, will he be, you know, behind him, ahead of him in the pecking order? I don't really know. I kind of think both of them will actually be inactive as long as everybody else stays healthy. Although the Packers kind of, you know, were touch and go at the center position for a while with Evan Dietrich Smith kind of suffering a knee injury there. But he kind of came back after the Lions game, actually played pretty well this past week against the Falcons. You know, all things considered, that he was coming off an injury and all that. But, you know, again here, I think, you know, kind of keeping J.C. Treader involved with the team here is nice, considering that Dietrich Smith is going to be a free agent at season's end. You know, the Packers kind of facing a situation where they could lose their starting center. I don't really know what's going to happen. You know, we've talked about this a lot on the show. All these upcoming free agents the Packers have, who are they going to re-sign? You know, they got B.J. Raji, Sam Shields, Evan Dietrich Smith, James Jones. All these guys are going to be free agents at season's end. Who do the Packers give a nice contract extension to? I don't know. I think it's going to be the player that kind of agrees to the lesser contract extension or a modest contract extension. So we'll see if they test free agency or not. So, but again, we'll find out here as we go along. We're on a Wednesday, and again, another kind of situation here that's kind of developing is the inside linebacker situation. Mike McCarthy touched on it just briefly during his Monday post-game press conference. He was asked about Brad Jones and Jamari Lattimore. They both suffered injuries in the Falcons game, kind of left the Packers with a very, very thin inside linebacking core. A.J. Hawk, of course, being the starter and the fully healthy one, but who will play next to him? Mike McCarthy said things are looking good for Brad Jones, or the medical staff was encouraged by what they saw, something along those lines. So that's good that he's healthy and will be able to play. But he did say at the time of the press conference, which happened Monday afternoon, Jamari Lattimore was still undergoing testing, and he didn't really have a good idea of where he was at. Kind of disappointing because Lattimore, he was just coming off a quadriceps injury prior to that. So to suffer another injury in the Falcons game, and the fact that he was playing well when he was playing, definitely kind of a disappointing situation there. For not only for him, but for the Packers as a whole. So, but, you know, that's where we're at. Like I said, we're on a Wednesday. We still have days to go until the next Packers game on Sunday against the Cowboys. I'm definitely excited to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers this week. What, you know, if he has a chance of playing at all, which isn't looking good, but hey, we're not going to rule him out yet. We'll see how the week plays out. And that's kind of the biggest things on everybody's mind as the Packers continue to try to stay alive for a spot in the playoffs and winning the NFC North Division crown. And that's where we're at on a Wednesday. So thanks for listening to our show, folks. That'll do it for today. We'll be back again on Friday as we have shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at CheeseheadTV.com at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Friday will be our game preview episode when we take a look at the Packers versus the Cowboys and how that game is going to play out and where the Packers are at 2 days from now. But on behalf of everyone at Cheesehead TV, on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kiervoet. We'll see you later, everyone. We'll see you in 2 days. I leave you today with a song called Kidney in a Cooler by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Sufficient coolant leak. Well, we thought we were doing the right thing.